Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much, wow, for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes, but just terrific. I'm really blessed. Thank you also to another donor to Catholic Sports Radio for the fourth episode in a row. I will be revealing that person's name during this episode. The show website is CatholicSportsRadio.net, which has everything from a built-in player to hear each episode there, links to various podcast platforms where you can listen and subscribe, or follow, as they call it on some of them. There are logos on CatholicSportsRadio.net to click on to follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Plus, the website has a bio about yours truly, as well as links to interviews where I have been the guest. And there's even an area called For Listeners, where you can submit prayer requests. I received a system email notifying me about action that needed to be taken regarding updating to the latest version for my interviewtipscourse.com website. If you're not a web person, that kind of message probably results in an uh-oh reaction. But there's no need to be nervous when you have a professional web company in your corner. I have said repeatedly that they are not a paying sponsor of this show, but Merchantside Marketing Group did such a great job with CatholicSportsRadio.net that I'm happy to tell others about them so that you or someone you know who needs website help can get peace of mind from their expertise. Don't just guess at what emails like the one that I received mean and or what you're supposed to do when you get them. Go with professionals like Merchantside Marketing Group, and in the process, align yourself with a coder to build your website so it works well, without bugs, without vulnerabilities, and with coding that is understood by search engines. Use one of their ads on CatholicSportsRadio.net to go to their website, and be sure to tell them you heard about them on Catholic Sports Radio. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Yesterday was Super Bowl Sunday, and so another NFL season has officially ended, at least in terms of the games played on the field. Fans and media will, of course, continue talking about players who made a name for themselves in yesterday's game, or even others, such as Tom Brady announcing his retirement, or maybe free agents who could be on the move, not to mention names of the future, meaning potential picks in the draft in April. We don't hear the name of Andrew Luck anymore, though. You'll recall that the former Indianapolis Colts quarterback suddenly announced his retirement, very unexpectedly, in August 2019 at the age of just 29. He walked away from what seemingly was most important to him. Could you do the same? In Matthew 16, verse 24, it says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me.'" Friends, it's a pillar of my ministry. Take a good look at what you've put as what seemingly has been most important to you, and, like Andrew Luck with football, ask yourself, if it's not Jesus and your faith, are you ready to deny yourself, to take up your cross, and follow him? Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest has been involved in various sports-related capacities. Most recently is his foray into the sport of triathlon, which has seen him compete in over 20 long-course Olympic and sprint triathlons, including reaching the podium six times in the past two seasons. On April 2nd, he will compete in the Ironman Oceanside 70.3 in San Diego, and in preparation for that, he will complete a training ride next week in which he will tackle the 10,068-foot, 35-mile climb to the summit of Maui's Haleakala volcano, dubbed as the world's longest paved climb. He had been an All-Pac-10 and national champion rower in his 20s. As a competitive sailor, he was a member of the winning crew at the 1998 Swiftsure International Yacht Race. Plus, he has held administrative roles in sports with the Seattle Goodwill Games, the Washington State Olympic Committee, the Seattle Sports Commission, USA Canoe Kayak, and even U.S. Lacrosse, among many others. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Mike McQuaid.
Bruce, thank you. I'm so blessed to be on your show today, I've so enjoyed the episodes over the last few months of your show, so thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Very much appreciate your being here, and I'm looking forward to our conversation. As someone who has worked extensively in sports throughout my professional career, I suddenly feel like it's really not all that much compared to the countless activities you've undertaken over the years. Before we dive into that, though, something non-sports related that stood out to me as particularly fascinating is the track, not of your career with sports, but the way your Catholic faith played out. Explain to the audience what I mean when I say that you were raised Catholic, but that you weren't Catholic.
Yes, and that is, I think, one of the absolute blessed moments of my life to experience that. I was raised by a Catholic mom and a dad who attended Seattle Preparatory Academy and Seattle University, both Jesuit schools in Seattle, and was never baptized. And in growing up, Mom surrounded us with Catholic families, and we attended Mass at St. Monica on Mercer Island near Seattle. And throughout my early life, being Catholic was always a part of my identity. And yet I was never formally baptized. And that was something that was always puzzling to me.
Well, since you are Catholic now, though, when did you formally come into the church, and what was the impetus for doing so?
So I was a parishioner at St. James Cathedral in Seattle. Father Michael Ryan is the pastor there, and it was my home. And I was encouraged by friends to go through the RCIA process with St. James. And for me, that was perhaps one of the foremost blessings that came in the form of very much of an opportunity in my faith life. And it was something that was just natural. I think others at that age explore faith at many levels, and even explore which faith they may want to pursue. There was no question for me whatsoever, and the family at St. James and the environment at St. James was very, very encouraging to that. And Father Mike was a big part of that.
Well, I oftentimes like to ask a guest about how they first started participating in sports, because it's a good chance to show that, whether it was recognized as such at the time or not, those are opportunities for quality bonding time between a parent and their child, if in fact it was a parent that got them started. In the intro, I talked about triathlon and rowing and sailing, but what about in your youth? Were you competing in sports back then? And if so, which ones, and who got you started?
Yeah, absolutely. So I competed in Little League, track and field, in football when I was younger, and I think there was always a passion in our family to participate in something related to enhance who you are. And I'll never forget how many times I probably struck out playing Little League baseball and just kept coming back to the plate. It's an exercise of patience. But I really always have considered myself a late bloomer in athletics. And I had a job when I was in junior high and high school working for the Western Hockey League team in Seattle. It was the Seattle Breakers, the predecessor of what's now the Seattle Thunderbirds. And I finished my time there as the trainer of the hockey club. But I'll never forget an experience back in 1978-79. We played and you have to remember, this was at the height of the Cold War. We played the Soviet national team, Moscow Spartak, at the then Seattle Center Coliseum in Seattle, which is now Climate Pledge Arena, home of the NHL Seattle Kraken. And as we prepared for that game, which unfortunately we were given a true skills clinic in hockey at that point and lost 7-4, as we were preparing for that game, a local priest came in and we held hands and had a prayer and a blessing prior to the game. And that was something that was very, very monumental for me to understand and explore the power of faith and the power of God as you approach competition, but also as you approach and interact with others who you may not know a lot about. And it may appear that you're an adversary, but in reality, you have very much in common. And I'll never forget that. It was certainly a life moment in many respects.
Yeah, and I'm glad you told that story because, listeners, as you hear me talk week after week about this being a ministry and the expenses that I have and the time spent that you don't know about that isn't me recording the show, I've been trying to get myself interviewed more lately on other podcasts to try to get the word out more about Catholic Sports Radio. And invariably, one of the first questions that people will ask is, how do faith and sports go together? Which is something I hope that I've been showing you for 3 years now. But in Mike's case, that was a case right there of seeing that, oh, faith and sports can go together. And he's got a lot more stories like that one that we're going to talk about on this episode. Mike, one of the roles that you held that I did not mention in the intro was with the World Sports Humanitarian Hall of Fame. I would love to have you share the story about your having connected a Kenyan Olympic Nordic skier with a local priest that you were friends with in Seattle, and specifically the dinner conversation that they had, which is another great example of the mix of faith and sports.
Yeah, and that was quite remarkable. This particular story was regarding my friend Philip Boyt, who's Kenyan. And Philip was a middle distance runner in Kenya, and the shoe company Nike, leading up to the Nagano Games, Winter Games in '98, did a little bit of math and thought, hey, can we connect the dots with world class runners and particularly middle distance runners in Nordic skiing? And at first glance, that, you know, the lights go off and you're thinking, wow, or the lights go on rather, and then you're thinking, wow, that's brilliant. And so Philip was one of a couple of elite level athletes that were trained and competed in Nagano and two other Olympic Games later on. In Nagano, Philip finished 92nd, dead last.
Hmm.
And it is, as your listeners might know the story, since we're in the middle of the Winter Olympics now, the champion, the gold medalist, waited for him. It may have been over an hour to finish the race, and shook hands with him. And to me, that's really what the spirit of the Olympics is all about. The gesture of Bjorn Dahle, the gold medalist in Nagano, to congratulate Philip, who finished dead last, is what sport's all about. And it goes hand in hand with the Olympic creed, which is the important thing in life is not the triumph, but the fight. And the central thing is not to have won, but to have fought well. And those words were inspired by the Bishop of Pennsylvania, Ethelbert Talbot, Pierre de Coubertin in 1908. And to this day, Olympians live by that ideal, and those of us that are involved in sport live to that ideal. And so fast forward, we brought that we brought Philip to the state of Washington to train in advance of the Vancouver Olympic Games. And I was working on a program that helped athletes acclimatize prior to competition. It's very common prior to games. And I wanted to connect Philip with Kenyans in the local community. Mm-hmm. And so there was a priest that I was very close to, Father Stephen Okumo, who was quite a successful soccer coach and athlete himself. And I asked Father Stephen if he could help assemble a dinner and put everybody together. So he did, and we had a wonderful traditional Kenyan dinner at his residence right next to St. Therese in Seattle. And it turned out that they knew one another's families, and we didn't know that going into it. Philip was from Eldoret in Kenya, and Father Stephen in the conversation said, wait, how do I know Boyd? Are you any relation to Mike Boyd? And Philip said, well, yes, that's my uncle. And well, Mike Boyd was a medalist in the Munich Games back in the day, and as a runner. And it turns out their villages were less than a mile away.
Mm.
And
boy.
The conversation turned to Swahili, and I was out. it was just such a wonderful moment. And who would have guessed in Seattle, of all places, that could possibly happen?
Well, I think we can, quote unquote, guess, because for nothing is impossible for God, as it says in Luke 1:37, and where he works in our lives, some of these things that we overlook or other people might write off as coincidence, you're here to testify, Mike, I know, that was truly the presence of God in that union and that fellowship that was taking place that night.
Yeah, very much so. And we see this in 1 Corinthians 9:24, which essentially says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. And if we look a little deeper into that verse, we really understand that it's at the heart of the Olympic Creed. And it's more about effort and dedication in the journey. And the reward is beyond the hardware that you can put around your neck. It's very much about competing with integrity. It's not about winning at all costs or abandoning your values. And really, it's about, yes, we will lose sometimes. We'll get beat sometimes, absolutely. But by performing with honor, we can always be victorious in the eyes of God. And I think about that before every competition. I think about that virtually before anything I do on any given day.
Wow. Beautiful. There's a tendency to hear people like Mike and his sports stories that lead you to think that everything is always sunshine and flowers, as they say, in his life. But just like the rest of us, he unfortunately has been challenged by some real adversity, which he faced head on, armed with prayer. He has agreed to share what those specific struggles were with us. But first, I want to make sure I properly give thanks to the latest contributor to my Catholic Sports Radio ministry, as I promised at the start of this episode. Understand that I don't get any income from doing this show, nor do I have any sponsors, so it very much helps me when listeners and guests help out financially, because there are a great number of expenses that come with operating this ministry. Even if from the outside it might only appear to be some show that comes out once a week and is only 30 or so minutes long. In fact, on a recent episode, I mentioned that the organizers of the annual men's conference here in the Tampa Bay area contacted me to see if I'd be interested in purchasing a table to be in the vendor area at that event at the end of this month. And when I mentioned that a couple weeks ago here on Catholic Sports Radio, I said that the cost was $100, but I found out that the actual total, after all is said and done, is rounded up $136. So that's a great example right there of one of the many costs I face in not only creating a new show for you each week, but operating the ministry on the whole, trying to grow Catholic Sports Radio and reach more people and so on, but having to try to come up with money out of my own pocket to cover them. All that being said, Joey Crawford was the guest 2 weeks ago on this show, episode 157, and he was kind enough to make an online contribution to Catholic Sports Radio. I, by all means, contacted him to thank him for his kindness, his support, but also to ask him if I could say his name publicly on an upcoming episode, and he gave me the green light to do that. And I really appreciate the support of Joey Crawford as the latest contributor to the work that I'm doing. When someone contributes to this ministry, it also tells me that they enjoy Catholic Sports Radio, recognize and appreciate the work that I'm doing, want to see it continue, and hopefully help people in their faith life. With regards to Joey Crawford, on CatholicSportsRadio.net, there is a donate to CSR button that makes it fast and easy for you to contribute securely online in any amount you wish. There's no drop-down menu of amounts to choose from. You put in whatever you're comfortable with. That's how Joey sent in his contribution to me. Do please prayerfully consider what you can do for this ministry in terms of financial support to help me offset the various costs that I have detailed over a number of episodes of this show. Instead of doing it online electronically through the website, alternatively, as some folks have opted to do instead, you can get in touch with me through the contact section of CatholicSportsRadio.net to ask for the mailing address, and I will personally write you back with details on where you can send a check. And as you just heard me do with Joey Crawford, I will happily say on the air the name of anyone who contributes to this ministry. Or as some have chosen to do, you can remain anonymous. I'm grateful to everyone who listens to the show and would most appreciate your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to use this ministry to bring more people closer to Christ. Mike, I led into all that by saying that you've been dealt some real challenges, no fewer than three that I know of. I'd be grateful if you could share with the audience about what those were, of course, but more importantly, how you say that prayerfulness is what allowed you to go through each one of them.
Absolutely. And we never expect prayerfulness, and particularly quiet, contemplated prayerfulness, which is very Catholic, to the impact that it can have in trying times in our lives. And you know, often trying times can be a death. They can be something that has gone terribly wrong in our lives, or they can be a lingering issue that goes on that we struggle to reconcile with. And for me, most recently, the loss of my father was very, very difficult for me, and I can recall just the comfort that praying quietly at St. James Cathedral in Seattle, and before the shrine of the Blessed Virgin Mary in our cathedral, helped me with that. It brought me a sense of understanding, a sense of absolute calm, a sense of reconciliation, or a path to reconciliation for a lot of respects, and a connection with God, and understand that God was indeed there. There's a saying over the doors, and as you enter our cathedral, it's Domus Dei Porta Celi, which means loosely House of God, Gate of Heaven. And I think that's so true each time that I seek out prayer in the cathedral. It's absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, I like that you mentioned in there the word calm, because I think in situations like that, where you've lost a loved one, there's a lot of noise, meaning loved ones, friends, people around you who are calling, who are visiting, and the noise just from within your own head. And it is tough to escape all that, as well-intentioned as all of it might be. And so it's great to enter that contemplative prayer just to feel some quiet and find some peace that, as you described, comes from sitting in a place like, it doesn't have to be a cathedral, but your local parish, and not in the context of a mass, just having quiet prayer.
Oh, very much so. And I have a cousin in near San Francisco, and she often, she lives right on the coast and often prays right on the beach, and to her that's very calming. And although we don't share the same faith, we share the same passion for God, and I think that's very important. The other part to this is the lingering struggles that in life we might all work with and deal with. And for me, this is something that is extremely troubling, because I take our sacraments very, very seriously, and that I had a marriage that did not work out, and coming to terms with that has been very, very difficult. And prayer has helped tremendously. I know God loves me, and I know God is guiding me to an understanding in the right way. And prayer over the years now has helped me get there. And you know, it's really something that I think that kind of prayer and that kind of patience is important to Catholics and anyone, that the signs are there and the path to peace is there. We just have to be patient and be willing to work through some of the challenges along the way.
Amen. Amen. And for the audience, I want to say here, this is 2 weeks in a row now, because if you listen to last week's interview with Tom Fox, he talked about his marriage ending and how proud he is to be a father. And he spoke so glowingly at the end of the episode about his three daughters. And I think it would be irresponsible of me to turn away a guest who has gone through what Mike just described, what Tom alluded to on last week's, because that would present to you this image of, as I said before, you think that it's all sunshine and flowers because of these wonderful sports stories that these guests tell, but it's reality. And I think I would be doing you, the audience, a disservice if I didn't let you see all of these wounds and hear all of these stories that the Mike McQuaids and the Tom Foxes and the others who have come on here are sharing. So if there's any small bit of discomfort in listening to someone talk about something, I'm going to be frank and say this is reality. And again, I think I'd be doing a disservice to this ministry, to my audience, to not let people like Mike share the stories that he just heard. But it's also powerful because you do hear the hope that we all know that we have in God every single day. You hear the power of prayer, and you get to learn techniques. Maybe it is this friend that goes on the beach. Maybe it's going into your local parish. Maybe it's doing both. But the Lord is there for us in all of these situations, and we can't turn a blind eye to certain situations because they make us uncomfortable. Off my soapbox, Mike, you are not only a great storyteller, but you have been blessed to witness numerous situations you've been in as the intersection of faith and sports. I mentioned in the intro that in rowing, you won a national championship, which was for Philadelphia's Vesper Boat Club. From training for the 1983 National Championship in rowing, you have a story about the quiet role that faith can play.
Very much so. And, you know, we don't always see things as they are. And those that we come into contact with, we don't necessarily know their background or their faith preferences or their spiritual life. But I was, as you mentioned, I was in Philadelphia, and I was training for the 1983 National Championships on Boathouse Row on the Schuylkill River, and I was a young collegiate athlete at the time that came out of the rowing program at Washington State University, which was a very young and fledgling rowing program at the time. And I was thrust into an environment of perhaps the most storied and successful rowing club in the United States, if not the world, that being the Vesper Boat Club. You walk into the boathouse next to the University of Pennsylvania's boathouse, and there are plaques and trophies and banners on the award dating back to the World's Fair in St. Louis back at the early part of the last century, and commemorating the Olympic gold that their 8-1 in the 1964 Tokyo Olympics. And for a young rower like me that came out of a fledgling rowing program at Washington State University that was less than a decade old to perhaps one of the oldest programs and most storied programs in the world, I was just in a very unique spot. And it turned out we were training at 6 in the morning and 6 in the evening, and I had time in between workouts and was hanging out in the boat bays, and some gentlemen, probably about my age now, they seemed ancient, asked me if I would help fill out a quad. and a quad in rowing is a quadruple sculls. It's a sculling boat, so two oars per oarsman or oarswoman, and as opposed to sweep rowing, which I only had experience in, which is one oar. And the stroke, what turned out to be the stroke of the crew, came up to me. I protested, and he came up to me, and he was a giant of a man. Firmly grabbed my right biceps and said, "I have faith in you. You will do just fine." Hmm. And so, into the quad I went, and I think I was in the two seat. And as we were casting off the dock onto the Schuylkill to begin our warm up, we traditionally count down from bow to stern and introduce ourselves. And when it came down to the stroke oar, this giant of an individual turned around and quietly said, "And I'm Jack Kelly." Well, Jack Kelly is perhaps the most storied oarsman in U.S. rowing history. He was the benefactor of the Vesper Boat Club, first of all, and I had never met him up until that point. And he's an Olympic champion and the Royal Henley Regatta champion. And just one of the remarkable individuals in the sport in life. He is also the brother of the late Princess Grace of Monaco. Mm. And it turns out we went on to begin our workout. He was extraordinarily patient with me. And we had a wonderful workout, and I did just fine. And that's how I learned to scull. And I think that if it wasn't for the Catholic Jack Kelly and his quiet demeanor and patience, that experience might not have played out that way. And I think that's a tremendous metaphor for life in a lot of ways, that you know, we can, if we have that kind of patience and if we have that kind of trust, you know, we can have wonderful opportunities.
Yeah.
We see this in Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do. He will show you which path to take. And we're pretty self-aware folks. And, you know, we have a tendency as athletes to initialize a great deal of the journey that we take as an athlete. You know, losses are all part our fault. Victories are part of the team's accolades. You know, we can be pretty hard on ourselves. But we need to lean on God, and he will show us the path. And it's not clear all the time. And it's in these times that we really need to feel his ever-present power in our decisions and our actions. And that was one of those for me.
Amen. Amen. And I want to remind the audience that story goes way back to 1983. So if you're wondering, how did Mike not know this decorated individual and everything that he had accomplished? This is 1983. There was no Google. There was no internet. There was no social media for him to be keeping up with Jack Kelly on a regular basis. So it kind of explains why that would have been. But as I said in the intro, in more recent years, never mind 1983, you have of late turned to triathlon. Ironically, though, in preparing for an Ironman in 2017, you actually sought out guidance from a former rowing teammate. Share with the audience about what I'm referring to, especially as it relates to the role of faith in triathlon.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, that's particularly important because, you know, patience and trust is a big piece of this sport. It's a long haul, and particularly if you're doing an Ironman, which in the case of the 2017 Coeur d'Alene Ironman, which is the last Ironman I did, I was on the course for 13 hours and 28 minutes. I think it was 13 hours.
Wow.
So that's that's 4,000 yards swimming. It's you're on the bike for 112 miles, and then you run a marathon. I had some wonderful guidance. I had a terrific coach at the Washington Athletic Club, I had some peers at all various levels of triathlon that had helped guide me along the way, that I listened carefully, and I was prepped. I was ready, I felt. But something was missing, and so I reached out to a rowing teammate from Washington State University, Doug Wardell, who lives near Coeur d'Alene in Spokane. And Doug is one of these individuals that is a specimen of an athlete. He's one of these guys that makes it look effort. He works hard all the way, but just manages to, everything he touches turns to gold. Mm. And he's also a man of extraordinary faith, a remarkable man of extraordinary faith. And Doug also had experience in Ironman and qualified for Kona, which is essentially the national championship of Ironman. And he walked me through just some basics in what I might endure. And it was, it was very much nutrition oriented. It was very much the ability to have patience in your work. And he implored on me, is the very last piece of advice he gave me. He says, trust in your training and have patience and trust in God.
Mm.
And that was very, very powerful for me, because you've got a lot of time to think when you're out there on the road, and I don't want to make light of it. It was very, very powerful. But at the end of a 112-mile bike run, the temperature in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, northern Idaho, was hitting 92 degrees.
Mm.
And we were transitioning then to the marathon. And so I had 26.2 miles of what was perhaps the most grueling marathon I'd ever run ahead of me.
Wow.
And it was that very much that got me through it.
Mm.
And he was right there at the finish line waiting for me. And I just bless him. Absolutely bless him.
Fantastic. Fantastic. We're in the home stretch here. Just two final questions. You have a lot of involvement in various organizations, some of which have Catholic ties, which is an opportunity to provide witness relative to community involvement and giving back. Specifically, I would love to hear about what you have done with the Society of the Friends of St. Patrick.
Yeah, very much so. So this is an organization that dates in many incarnations back to revolutionary times in the United States. And at one point, I believe our first president, George Washington, was an honorary member of the Order of Hibernians at one point, which evolved into this. There are chapters all over the country, and I came to know that it was the Sons of St. Patrick at one point, but I think is a John Madigan, a friend of mine, is a priest in the Archdiocese, mentioned to me at one point, the Angry Daughters of St. Bridget intervened and became Friends of St. Patrick. And I was fortunate enough to be elected president of this group 1 year. And we formed a partnership. We were already raising money in the Archdiocese for Seattle University and the Seattle University School of Law. And I thought we could do much more with this. And I poked around a little bit and it was suggested that I have a conversation with the Fulcrum Foundation, which is attached to the Archdiocese in Seattle, which is a fundraising element. And Joe Wozniak, who was a part of running this at the time, suggested that we work with parish schools, and not necessarily parish schools who are going to be recipients of grants because they're struggling financially, or those that are well off, but those that are in the middle and kind of fall between the cracks.
Mm.
And so we set out to identify parish schools every year and their need, and raise, you know, a small amount of money. I think we raised $10,000 or so every year for a parish school that we selected. And it turns out Father Okuma, who I mentioned earlier in our conversation, mm-hmm. at St. Therese, was one of the recipients of this. But this was a very powerful organization, and in terms of its faith and in terms of its impact, but more how we engaged members of the Irish Catholic community in Seattle, mm-hmm. to really take play a deeper role in helping our parish schools, which are very important in the Archdiocese.
Just wonderful. Just wonderful. Well, in closing out this episode, Mike has what he calls cornerstone Bible verses. There are three of them, and he's actually cited two of them along the way. So, Mike, I would love it to close out if you can share with the audience about that third cornerstone Bible verse that you have.
Sure. And this is one of my favorites, and I think that all of your listeners can reflect on how powerful this is, because we've all heard it. And it's Mark 1:17, "Follow me and I will make you become fishers of men." And this, for me, this really is what becoming Catholic or being Catholic is about. Jesus always seems to meet people where they are, and he speaks to them in ways that they can understand. And while I think the verse is less about fishing and more about understanding and connecting, the analogies are spot on and very similar with our experiences in sport. Athletic competition, like fishing and life, is unpredictable. There's no guarantee of a reward. There's no guarantee that the fish will be there if you throw the net in the water. A win or fish jumping into the boat isn't a given. It requires patience and being willing to take some risk. And so does connecting with others. And I think all of us can play that role in guiding others quietly and faithfully, encouraging others, setting examples. And we have to remember, a fish will never get caught unless the net is cast. And people can never be saved unless we speak out. And we can't win if we're not in the race. You only need to go so far as to think the first epistle in Corinthians 9:24 about that we talked about earlier. So, to me, that goes hand in hand with everything that we hear at Mass on a day-to-day or a week-to-week basis. And with that, I'd like to implore all of us to take the words of Pope Francis to heart, to come out of this crisis better. And the crisis that he's referring to is the pandemic. We have to see clearly, choose well, and act right. Let's talk about how. Let's dare to dream. And to me, that just sums up what our faith life is all about.
Yeah, and I love that you mentioned in there about risk, because if you combine it with how this topic got started, I asked Mike about that third cornerstone Bible verse of his. If you think back to who did Jesus call to follow him, he didn't go to high priests. He didn't go to rabbis. He went to people like you and me. And so if you take a risk and evangelize in whatever that looks like for you, that is how we bring more people closer to Christ. And so if you ever question what qualifies Bruce to do this Catholic Sports Radio ministry, I am taking a risk. I am throwing down my net to go be a fisher of men to try to lead more people closer to Christ through this ministry. And I know it's not for everybody, and I know it's easier said than done in a lot of cases. And it's good to hear people like Mike and I talk about being bold and taking risks, and maybe that's not your thing. But maybe it is, and you need to listen closer for that calling and listen for that voice and see, what is it that I can do to follow Jesus, to do what Pope Francis is calling us to, and things like Mike McQuaid is talking about, and Tom Fox before him, and all the guests before him, and see what you can do that maybe you just take that step in faith and go a little bit further in whatever you're being called to. Meanwhile, Mike, thank you ever so much. Really wonderful to have you on the show. I'm really grateful that you made time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you. And audience, let's pray for Mike, for what you heard me describe at the beginning of the interview that he will be going through next week, Wednesday, which is February 23rd.
Thank you very much. I'm blessed to have been on the show, and this has been such a powerful experience for me. I'd like to wish everyone a happy St. Valentine's Day today, and God bless you.
And so, listeners, this is a nod to the competitor that Mike continues to be today, and we'll pray it together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is strange with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a fellow turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup, and he learned too late when the night came down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And when you never can tell how close you are, it may be near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things seem worst. You must not quit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those. C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.